Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, oh Pastor, thank you for baptizing my child today. But I have one more favor to ask of you. My child needs a diaper change. Could you do that for me? Oh Pastor, thank you for writing your sermon and preaching it to us this morning, but could you write my high school paper that happens to be due tomorrow? Oh, Pastor, thank you for serving communion and feeding my spiritual soul, but could you come to my house today and make a meal for me to eat? Now, I, as a pastor, have never had people actually ask me these things in this way, and nor do I expect the members of my church to ask me these things. I think you would agree, it'd be quite unexpected to ask your pastor these things in this way, but let's just assume you did. And unexpectedly, I did those things. I changed the dirty diaper. I wrote the paper. I fed you a meal. That would stick out to you. And in the same way, if I asked you to do something that's unexpected and you did it, that would stick out to me. Today, in this account from Mark's gospel, we hear of Jesus healing a man who could not hear and could not speak. Now, in some ways, we just expect Jesus to do that. He miraculously healed so many people. It doesn't surprise us that the people would say he has done everything well. But there are things mentioned in this account that are quite unexpected. And even with these unexpected things, Jesus does them all well. The account begins by saying, Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. First glance, these words seem pretty straightforward. Jesus left one area and went to another. But there are two things about this area of the Decapolis that we need to understand. First of all, this area of the Decapolis, which is east of the Jordan River, right by the Sea of Galilee, was predominantly Gentile. There was not a huge Jewish presence in this area. And the second thing that we need to know is that this isn't the first time that Jesus has been to this area. Earlier, when he came to this area, he healed a man who was demon-possessed. And it's that famous account that Jesus drove out thousands of demons from this man. They entered into a herd of pigs, and that herd of pigs ran off a cliff and died. When the people saw this, they demanded Jesus to leave this area. And Jesus did. But the man who was healed wanted to come and follow Jesus. You would expect that Jesus would have this man come and follow him. But instead, Jesus does what is unexpected. He told the man to stay and to tell the people what had happened. And here we see the result of the man doing that. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. Earlier, these people were demanding Jesus to leave this area, and now they are begging Jesus to heal this man who cannot hear and cannot speak. And Jesus does so. But why? Why does Jesus heal this man? And our first answer would be, well, that's just what Jesus does. He heals people. Yes, but why? What can this man give to Jesus that would pay him back for healing him? There is nothing that this man can give. But Jesus heals this man purely because of his grace, his undeserved love. And so even though this man shouldn't expect to receive anything from Jesus, he heals him. Jesus does all things well, unexpectedly. So what does that teach us? It teaches us that Jesus is the Savior of all people, and he cares for all people. That's important for us because we're Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're not part of that promised nation and people of God. And yet, God has adopted us as his own children, which means he loves us. By nature, we demanded Jesus to leave us. We wanted nothing to do with him. But through the powerful proclamation of his word, he has brought us to faith, that we are no longer demanding Jesus to leave us, but we are clinging on to him and praying to him to help us. And although we shouldn't expect to receive anything from God, purely because of his grace, God blesses us and takes care of us. Jesus does everything well, unexpectedly. But let's take a closer look at how Jesus healed this man, because how he does it is quite unexpectedly. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus easily could have said to this man, "Be healed," and it would have been done. There's many times we hear of Jesus healing people in that exact way. There are even times that Jesus isn't even with the people who are suffering, and he still declares for them to be healed, and it happens. So then why does Jesus do what he does here? He takes the man aside, puts his fingers into his ears. He spits and touches the man's tongue. He looks up to heaven with a deep sigh and says, "Ephphatha." Why does he do that? It seems very strange and weird. It's unexpected. But Jesus does these things because he knows this is what the man needs. He pulls the man aside to deal with him personally, teaching the man that he cared for his own personal needs. And since this man cannot hear and he cannot speak, Jesus communicates with this man in a way that he will understand. He puts his fingers into his ears to signify to this man that he was going to heal him of his deafness. He spits and touches the man's tongue to show this man that he was going to heal his muteness. Jesus looks up to heaven to show this man that this healing was coming from God. And with a deep sigh, Jesus says, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." And immediately, this man could hear and he could speak. He didn't have to learn how to speak. He was able to do it right away. Jesus did everything well, even if it was unexpected. But now contrast how Jesus does everything well with how we do things. We don't do everything well. Rather, as sinners, expectedly, we sin and disobey God. Jesus dealt with this man personally, dealing with his own personal issues. Even though this man was a stranger and couldn't offer anything to Jesus, we can pick and choose whom we like. And those whom we don't like, we don't want to deal with them personally. We don't even want to be around them, even if they need our help. Jesus gave this man the gift of hearing. Jesus has also given us this gift, but it's a gift we easily misuse. And maybe our ears tingle just a little bit to hear the latest gossip about someone. Maybe we listen to and laugh at jokes that are out of place and immoral. Maybe we listen to false teachings and we find comfort in them instead of listening to the truth of God and finding comfort in what he has to say. Jesus gave this man the gift of speech. He has given us this gift as well, but it's a gift that we can abuse. That maybe our tongues begin to salivate at the idea of spreading rumors about someone. Maybe we have absolutely no problem ruining the reputation of another as long as it makes me look better before people. We can misuse God's holy name by cursing, swearing, lying, and deceiving. Jesus healed this man, and immediately his problems went away. And there have been times that very quickly, God has removed struggles and hardships in our lives. This should move us to always look up to heaven with a deep sigh, thanking and praising our God. And yet so quickly, we're the ones who look up to heaven and accuse God of doing wrong. That we say, well, God, if you do everything well, then why aren't you doing everything well for me? Unlike Jesus, we don't do everything well. In fact, we don't do anything well. For even our good deeds are polluted with sin, and Scripture calls our good deeds like filthy rags. And so you would expect that God would punish us for our sins, not only in this life, but in the afterlife. But here we see the most unexpected thing that Jesus does. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. In fact, he forgives us. Why? How could Jesus possibly forgive us? Because Jesus did everything well for us and for our salvation. It is true that Jesus has saved and died for the sins of all people. But do not forget that he is your personal Savior. He lived a perfect life personally for you. He took all of your personal sins that you have committed and he placed that upon himself with his suffering and death. With his own ears, Jesus heard people shouting for him to be crucified, and they mocked him while he suffered. But never once did he speak out against them. Rather, he was the one who said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus' mouth became so parched that his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth as he slowly died in agony, enduring that suffering personally for you. On the cross, Jesus looked up to heaven, but he did not say Ephphatha. He said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus did all of this. He suffered so much and he died for you so that immediately all of your sins could be taken away from you. No one would have ever expected our God to do this. But Jesus does everything well unexpectedly. He has done everything well for us and for our salvation. And therefore, let us always look up to heaven, praising and thanking our God for what he has done and finding comfort in him. But there's one more unexpected thing in this account, and perhaps it's the most unexpected. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." After Jesus healed this man, he commanded the people not to tell anyone what he had done. Why? You would expect Jesus to want these people to spread the news of how he healed this man. So why does he do the unexpected thing and tell the people not to tell others? It's because Jesus knows that if they spread this story around, people would begin to view him simply as a miracle worker, someone who would be a savior from their pain and hardships in life, instead of viewing him on what he came to do, which was to be our savior from our sins. That's why he told the people not to spread this news, but unfortunately, the people did. And we do know that later on, people view Jesus simply as that miracle worker instead of focusing on him as their Savior. So what can we learn from this? What does God expect of us to do? Let me ask you this. When a person shares a personal story of their faith, of how Jesus helped them through their pain and hardship, do you find those personal stories to be uplifting or not? Many times we do find those stories uplifting because we are filled with amazement of how God is gracious and he would help those people in those ways. But sometimes those personal stories are not so uplifting because you hear what has happened to them and you go, well, God, if you did everything well for them, then why aren't you doing everything well for me? Why am I still suffering? Why haven't you removed this pain and this hardship in my life? And so now, we begin to view Jesus simply as our Savior from pain and hardship, instead of focusing on him as our Savior from sin. Now, does this mean that I'm saying that sharing personal stories about your faith and what God has done for you is wrong? Absolutely not. But remember what's at the heart and core of our message and what we believe. The heart and core of our message is God's grace, him as our Savior. It is only this message that will bring people comfort as they are suffering, no matter what they are going through in life. A perfect example of this is found in the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest missionaries the Christian church has ever had. And yet in time, Paul went through some sort of suffering that affected his ministry. We don't know what it is, but he prayed to Jesus 3 times to remove that suffering. And Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." When Paul heard this, when he heard how Jesus wasn't going to remove this suffering in his life, Paul did not become angry. Rather, he does the unexpected thing. He rejoices, for he said, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Paul's confidence was built upon God and his grace. That is where he found his comfort even during his sufferings. And for us, our confidence is found in God's grace and his salvation, which comforts us in our sufferings. For there may be some sufferings that God will not remove for a long time. There may be some sufferings that God doesn't remove in this lifetime. But we still have that comfort in Jesus as our Savior. That's the heart and core of our message. And unexpectedly, God can take that message either to strengthen someone in the faith or to bring someone to the faith, even during their sufferings. Jesus does everything well unexpectedly. He does everything well, for he reaches out to all of us to bring us to faith. He has done everything well for us and for our salvation. He does everything well by blessing our message, by reaching out to others, and giving us comfort even in the midst of our own sufferings. Therefore, all praise and glory belong to Jesus, who does everything well. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.